You're listening to Dropping the Needle, the podcast where all music from all genres is discussed. New releases, classic albums, rediscovered music, signed and unsigned. No ass kissing. Just two guys talking about music. Here are your hosts, Michael Brandvold from Michael Brandvold Marketing and Mitch LaFon.
And we're here with Chuck Wright today. Chuck, you are with Quiet Hello. Riot, and you're also playing with Heaven and Earth.
Yes, I am.
So let's talk a little bit about that. How did you join Heaven and Earth and Stuart's band? And tell us a little bit about this new album, Dig. And I dig it. Well, I listen to it.
Dig. It's called Dig. Well, it for a couple reasons. Because Dig the music, and we're trying to recreate real rock and roll from the 70s and dig it out of the ground. If you saw the album cover, I've kind of got a version of it like right there. I don't know if you can see there or not.
Yeah, I can. It looks like a guitar being pulled out of the earth there.
It's a giant, futuristic-looking spaceship Stratocaster
right. That
could be anywhere, but it's being pulled out of the ground, and it's giant size. So, anyway, about Stuart, you know, I'm on the first album, which was basically a Stuart Smith solo record called Heaven and Earth, and I got to play bass on it and actually contributed some music ideas to it, and one of the tracks I did was with Glenn Hughes and Carmine Appice. And Richie Sambora, which was kick-ass, called See That My Grave Is Kept Clean.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite songs still. I put it on right now and just go, oh, dude, I'm very digging it. So he called me up about, what's it been, 14 months ago.
Right.
And said, hey, listen, I'm going to do another Heaven and Earth thing, but this time it's going to be a band. And I go, well, explain what that means. He goes, well, we're going to work together as a band. We're going to write the songs together. It's going to be, everybody's going to be equal. It's not my band. It's everybody's band. And I go, that sounds like something I'm interested in.
Okay.
You know, so that's what we did. We got together and he bring in some ideas, a guitar riff, and then we would turn it into a full on song. And then Joe Retta, who is an unbelievable singer, would go and work on it and come back in and we'd rearrange it some more. And it just, you know, worked like that.
It's
been great.
So then as a band, then does this mean there's going to be touring involved with this project? Because I don't think he toured much or did many shows last time out.
I don't really know what Heaven and Earth did last time. We are doing a show April 10th at the Fonda Theater, which is the most beautiful venue in L.A. And we're going to be doing a private party thing for agents and, you know, and our friends and family and all that. And we're hoping to... that, you know, an agent will see us and go, yeah, I want to do this or that with you guys. And that's the goal, you know. Touring, I haven't done like the bus touring thing in a long time. So I'm able to, because with Quiet Riot, I do flyouts.
Right.
And there's time.
Weekend warrior.
I've always been, throughout my whole career, if I'm not on the road for weeks at a time, I'm doing a lot of different projects. Tonight I have a gig with my acoustic band with Stan Bush. We have violin, mandolin, and percussion. It's called Acoustic Saints, and I'm doing a gig tonight with them. So, and I love doing that thing. It's a blast.
Now, why at this point would you want to join a band or form a new band? I mean, it must be difficult getting a new project off the ground.
Well, fortunately, with this project, we have somebody that really believes in what we're trying to do, and that's take music back to being real again, and not, you know, contrived in the computer with, you know, tone
Pro
controls
tools.
Or whatever. Yeah, all that stuff. This is, we actually went into a real studio and hit tape and recorded it that way, like the way, you know, we did in the beginning and the way the bands did in the 70s, and that's what we're trying to get back to. So it's a great opportunity. We have somebody with the record company that we're with, Quarter Valley,
right,
that totally believes in us, and we've been able to hire the best people around us and work at the best studios, and Dave Jenkins is an amazing engineer, producer. He's done Metallica and he's done Tori Amos to, you know, all Tower of Power. Very well versed, well rounded. So it's.
Let me just ask you, if we contextualize this in 2013, more and more bands are going to sort of the EP or the one song single on iTunes. Why is it important for you to put an album together? Why 10 or 12 songs? Why not just one or two and throw them up on iTunes and off you go?
Well, again, we're trying to take everything back to the way it was before. We're actually doing vinyl.
Wow.
And I think one song doesn't tell the whole story what a band's about.
Okay.
Personally, so.
Yeah.
We're going to have 10 songs on there, or 12, I think. I don't remember, but.
Oh, I'll tell you right now.
I have to get back and look.
No, I'm looking at it right now. You've got 12.
12. Okay, 12.
You know, one of the other questions that we ask when we do this video stuff is, bring us back to where you started from. What was the first album that you remember buying with your own money? And how did you discover it?
That's a good question. I remember the first record I heard and how it inspired me. And
okay. Was that from your mom or from your brother or from a cousin?
Actually, my older sister, she goes, there's this, I remember her exact words. It's amazing I can remember this because I was maybe 5 or 6. She goes, there's this new clown act. They're called the Beatles. And I go, really? She goes, yeah, listen to this. It's really awesome. Eventually, I ended up standing on top of my fireplace with a tennis racket, pretending all the little shag carpets were people. And I envisioned that. That's what I want in my life. I want to be up there playing for thousands of people when I was a little boy. And that's what I ended up doing, which is kind of cool.
Which Beatles record was it?
It was their very first single. The first album that came out.
Was it Please, Please, Please Me? Was that it?
It's one of those songs, you know, one of their first rock, when they were like rock and roll.
Right. Kind of,
I thought it was exciting. I loved it. You know, I loved the Everly Brothers and all that stuff back then. When I was a kid, I really enjoyed it.
At any point, you don't remember taking your own like $5 and running out and buying the first Led Zeppelin or the first Kiss or?
I think the first Zeppelin record was one of the first albums that I ever bought and had a huge influence on me, especially musically as a bass player, because John Paul Jones is by far one of my favorite rock bassists.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Now, just before getting back to Heaven and Earth, Quiet Riot, Metal mm-hmm. Health, you played on that.
Yes, I did. I actually was in the band that was called Dubrow, which was
right.
Carlos, Kevin, and Frankie, and we were playing all the clubs trying to get signed. Rudy was playing with Randy and Ozzy. So I took over for him when he left the band.
Yeah.
And the guitar player in my band was in Dubrow before Carlos. He brought me in, then he left, and then Carlos came in from a band called Snow. And we got signed, and I did most of the demos and everything. And on the album, Metal Health, I sing on every track, and I play bass on two.
Wow.
You know, they don't want to let you go. Who knew?
Somebody a couple of months ago asked me who saved Kiss in 1983, and their answer was Vinnie Vincent. And I said, no. The answer is actually Quiet Riot Metal Health, because when that album hit, the record companies scrambled around looking for other hard rock acts. And of course, Kiss was a proven entity, so they got signed and pushed. How important was that album for the whole 80s, in a sense?
Well, that's the thing. Back in the day when we were doing that record,
right,
all the bands that were hep or in were the Knack with the little skinny ties and the Motels and bands like that. So, and we're all slugging it out on the strip, you know, with Motley Crue and Rat and all those bands.
And
nothing really happening with the labels, even though we're all packing out clubs.
Right.
They could care less because that wasn't in vogue on the radio at that point. So, I think Come On, Feel the Noise just kicked the doors open for all of those bands, Motley Crue and all of them. You know, who knows what would happen if that song didn't rear its head, you know?
Yeah, and I think, truly, you did save Kiss and some of those bands, because I don't think any of the record companies would have given them any thought had, you know, a heavy metal album not hit number one.
I've never thought about saving bands. I know we've helped get bands going because of that song, but I didn't think about saving, but you're probably right, yeah.
You know, now over here, maybe can't see, but I got a Cheap Trick t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, I love Cheap Trick.
Well, you also played on one album, did you not? Did you not play on Busted?
I actually sang on their record.
Okay.
We were managed by the same people, same management company, and they asked me to come in and sing background, which I did, and you know, I toured with them too and became good friends of theirs. I see them whenever they're in town. I actually went to Vegas to see them do the Beatles.
That must have been great.
Magical Mystery Tour thing, which was fantastic. And Rick would always walk by the dressing room and go, Chuck Wright, tastes great. Chuck Wright, tastes great. Every time. Which is kind of funny because that was a big beer commercial back then, Bud
now,
Light.
Now, when you say you toured with them, what do you mean? As an opening act? I mean,
yeah, House of Lords.
Oh, right.
And I had, with Greg Giuffria, we put together after I left Quiet Riot in 87, 88 era, we put that band together and you know, the same management as Cheap Trick. And Gene Simmons actually had a label.
Well, it was Simmons Records.
Yeah, he told Greg called me up and he said, hey, listen, I got to deal with Gene Simmons if I put a killer band together. And I go, I'm in, let's do it. Because I'd known him from being with Jafria. And then, you know, we needed a singer. He didn't really care for David Glenn Isley. And I was doing a thing called Eyes.
Right.
And the singer was James Christian. And I said, try this guy out. And he was awesome. So that's how that all happened.
Yeah, now the band still performs, I think. Are you going to do anything with them again, or...?
What happened with that was, which is weird, I'm not that happy about what happened, but we got back together after 14 years and did a couple concerts headlining in Europe.
Right.
And this all while the singer, James Christian, was working up with some of his buddies on the East Coast, and he basically was in cahoots with the label, and they got the name, and he just carried on just by himself. And just, we went, what the hell? And none of us had the money or the time or even wanted to deal with suing and going through that whole crap, because who's got the kind of money to throw at attorneys to deal with that stuff? I didn't really think it was worth it. You know, and so he's carrying on. They're still playing our songs with a lot of their new stuff, and it's good. It's not like they suck, so it's cool in that regard. But the way it came about wasn't too nice.
Yeah, and for people who are listening, the label here is not Simmons Records. I think it was Frontiers or something like that. Just so people don't start getting mad at Gene.
In the mid
80s, it was Gene stuff, but not the new label.
No, that was all Frontiers thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's just funny because whenever you say something like that or you bring Gene Simmons into the name, right away you get a few people throwing stones at him, going, "Oh, he's greedy," but this is not him. So,
no, you know what? I think I know Gene personally, and I mean, I used to play racquetball with the guy, and he's one of the funniest human beings ever.
Yeah,
and absolutely. You know, sure, when you do business with him, he's mad at a nickel because it's not a dime. So watch yourself with all that. But as far as just being a guy, he's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's really great.
So, what are the? Let's get back to Heaven and Earth. What are the plans for the band as we move forward? Right now, we're just at the beginning of March, so where do we go from here?
We just now started rehearsals.
Okay.
And it's sounding amazing. It's kicking ass. In fact, Fred Curry walked in, you know, the drummer from Cinderella.
And was is he playing drums with you?
Huh?
He's not going to play drums with you.
No. Okay. It's Richie. Richie Onori is the drummer, and him and I were in a band in the late 70s together. I mean, he's been like a brother to me forever, but... Okay. No, Fred just happened. He has a studio in the facility we're rehearsing at, and walked in and goes, "Where'd you get this singer? He's unbelievable." And I go, "Yeah, Joe Retta is the shit. Excuse my language, but he's awesome."
You're allowed to say it. It's the internet. You can say that.
Yeah, he's awesome. Just, you know, I can listen. I mean, obviously, I recorded the record and I've heard the songs many times, but I could put on. We have a song called House of Blues on there.
Right.
I just sit back and I get the same feeling as Since I've Been Loving You, where it just blows me away every time. His vocal is so passionate, so powerful.
Now, are you going to tour this, though, right?
Pardon?
You're going to tour this summer.
Well, we're hoping. That's why we're doing the showcase, like I mentioned earlier, and we're hoping to either do flyout dates or some kind of tour thing. And it's just for me, it's a matter of juggling my scheduling to make it all work.
Yeah, how does it affect your time with Quiet Riot?
Well, I mean, Quiet Riot has been, you know, that's my history, and that's what I do.
Right.
And that always comes first. So I'll be doing that, and we'll just be moving schedules around to make it work. I've always been able to do that. So
I can see that. Now,
I get three bands now. I've been in six at one point.
So you're actually cutting down.
Yeah, I'm cutting that down. Cutting down to three. Now, I got to keep busy. I'm also a graphic designer, so I do that too when I have time. So I'm just always trying to do things, you know.
And for anybody who's wondering, Quiet Riot's got a new singer. Any live DVD or new album, or is there any kind of recording?
You could see us. We did the M3 Festival last year, and it went out worldwide on HDNet.
Right.
And if you go to officialquietriot.com, there's footage from those performances, and you can check out Scott Volkin, who's kicking asses, you know. Those are the biggest shoes ever to fill, and I don't know, you really can't. Right. Kevin was a unique personality, showman. It's just, you know, you can't. So the thing that we could do is try to recreate and pay homage to it and make the music great every night, which we do. We go out there and kick it every night when we play, and the fans love it. So let's keep it going.
And will you record a new album, you think?
You know, you'd have to ask Frankie. He runs everything Quiet Riot, and I would love to eventually. I know we do have a documentary coming out. He's been concentrating
on that. That's right.
Yeah, that's been taking, I would say, most of his focus is having that all put together. I mean, thousands of hours of footage that he's been going through and with the producer, and I've done interviews, and they've been out on the road with us. They went to the M3 Festival and shot us the new band, and it's basically from the beginning of Quiet Riot to present day, and all the trials and tribulations of getting to where we are now. Yeah. Focused mainly around Frankie and him keeping it together and dealing with all the loss in his life and ours too.
He's had a lot of heavy loss, and I'll let him explain it. But there's been a lot of family members, and it's been difficult.
It's been life. You know, that's the longer we last, the more we lose, kind of as far as friends and family and things. But he's been the strength and you know the power behind the band and keeping it going. And I'm happy to be doing it. I love playing the music. It's part of my history. So,
yeah, and I'm happy that he's doing it. I know sometimes fans always say, "Well, you change members," but you know what? As long as you give it an honest shot, I'm all for it. You know,
it's about the music. You know,
it really is.
It really is, and I think we do it justice. So it's not like we're trashing it. I think we do a really great job. I mean, I'm on most of the albums anyway, and obviously Frankie is, and Alex has been with us almost 10 years now on guitar, and Kevin handpicked him.
So what you need to do is put together a triple bill of Heaven and Earth, Hotel Diablo, and Quiet Riot, and get everybody working double shifts.
That would be interesting. I've actually done gigs where I played in four bands at one time with Janie Lane, Kevin DeBro, Steven Adler, and
That was the what was that? The Voices of Rock tour or something?
No. Bad Boys of Metal.
Bad Boys of Metal.
And Alex and I were the backline band for everybody, and it was four sets, and it was like, whoa. So, that was a workout.
You can do it again. You can do it again.
Under the right circumstances, sure.
If people want to find you online, where do we go?
ChuckWright.com.
Okay.
The email goes right to me if you want to reach me, and I'm on Facebook. If you want to be my friend
Facebook. / Chuck Wright, or?
Chuck period Wright number one.
Well, there you go.
But write to me, because I don't just add people randomly. You know, I've got like 1,000 people want to be, but I want to know that there's a connection somehow, like you're aware of my music, or you're a friend of a friend, or something.
You're not selling me a timeshare.
I'm trying to get friends. Oh, cool. You know.
Are you a Twitter? Are you on Twitter also?
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm not. Heaven Earth has a Twitter thing going.
Okay. Oh, so it's twitter.com/heavenandearth or something like that. Mm-hmm. We'll find it. It's been great. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Good to see you. I hope I get to come up to Canada again, man.
Yeah, we've got to make that happen.
But it's warmer.
Well, it ain't today. Today is
gotcha.
Snow, and what is it? It's zero, so that's 32 Fahrenheit. It's not happy times.
Oh, that's not good. I'm playing outdoors in 40 degrees, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, well, tonight. We don't want to do that again.
Hello, this is Bumblefoot from Guns N' Roses, and I just released my own award-winning gourmet hot sauces, from the mild cherry bourbon Bumblicious to the over-the-top Bumblefucked. So, if you want to get Bumblefucked, visit Bumblefoot.com for more information.
You've been listening to Dropping the Needle with Michael Brandvold and Mitch LaFon.